Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Yesterday morning we began to take authority over things that come against us. Might seem a strange time of the last week of term to really get into a subject like this. But you'll find that it's going to be important not only for now, but for whatever you do over the coming weeks, over the holiday period, and then, of course, to prepare us for what God is going to do at the beginning of next term when we have the 40 days and the whole church will be meeting with God. Now, just before we look at the scripture, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And you have the Spirit of God. Now let me ask you, does everything you do and everything that you say, is that led by the Spirit of God? Is the Holy Spirit revealed, manifested in all your attitudes and in all your actions? You don't need to answer the question. I know the answer for every one of us in this room. The question is this: that if at any point the Holy Spirit is not leading you, the Holy Spirit is not inspiring you, the Holy Spirit is not speaking through you, the Holy Spirit is not revealing himself in what you're doing and in your attitudes, what spirit is? Now, we might like to say, well, no other spirit except the Holy Spirit can influence me. Well, you better take a closer look at Scripture, including these verses that we're looking at first of all, verses that you know well, but knowing them doesn't mean you live in the good of them. Verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Right, now God has a plan for your life. The devil has schemes for your life. Hello? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Although, of course, you have to deny your own flesh, that's not really the nature of the struggle, because there are other influences, forces, spirits, call it what you will, that want to stir up your flesh. And if you don't take authority over them, then you're not going to see the success over the things of the flesh that you need to see. Are you all breathing? Yes. Okay, so our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. When people read this last chapter, they always want to concentrate on all the pieces of the armor. But it's not really about that. It's about why the armor needs to be in place so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes, to realize that our real battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's not against others. It's against these spiritual forces of wickedness that are at work in the world and in heavenly places. Paul talks about the spirit of this world, which is still at work among the disobedient. So you can have a disobedient Christian filled with the Holy Spirit, but he can live under the influence of the spirit of this world because he is being disobedient. So we look at disobedience as something that is clearly wrong, clearly sinful, clearly needs repentance. But what we fail to understand sometimes is that the sin is not just the disobedience, but allowing the spirit of this world to influence us rather than the Spirit of God. Is everybody awake this morning? Okay. So therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. No matter what it is the enemy brings against you, or whatever spirits come against you, you will be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Amen. And then he talks about where you stand with the truth, you stand in righteousness, you stand because you believe the gospel, you stand with the shield of faith, you stand in the good of the salvation that you have. Never mind about the bits of tinware, it's what they represent that matters. You know, I come across some people who say, oh, every morning I put on my armor, and I say, why did you take it off when you went to bed? You are allowed to sleep in spiritual armor as well as whatever else you choose to sleep in. Okay, let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10. Verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Amen. Now, what the enemy wants to do is to develop strongholds. Now, what is a stronghold? Stronghold is something that has a hold of you. You, in some way, are in its grip, under its influence. Let me just give you an example. Suppose somebody is critical of others. If that criticism persists, if he doesn't realize the sin of being critical, then he will continue to be critical. And that, if he doesn't deal with the issue, that criticism will become a stronghold. He will come under the influence of a critical spirit. He will have a critical spirit. His spirit, his human spirit, instead of being under the influence of the Holy Spirit, will also be influenced by this critical spirit. And when that happens in a person's life, he finds that he is being critical even when there is no reason to be critical, or even when he doesn't necessarily want to be critical. These critical thoughts arise because, you see, he never pulled down the stronghold, or really the never dealt with the problem before it became a stronghold. Once it becomes a stronghold, then some pretty serious work needs to be done. But what Paul is saying is we have the spiritual weapons that are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Sometimes we talk about offense, taking offense. If somebody brings you correction, you can take offense. The scriptures are given according to what the Word of God says for our correction, to teach, to rebuke. The scriptures rebuke us when we need to be rebuked and correct us. Teach, correct, rebuke. So we don't like to be rebuked. Most of us don't like to be corrected. A good teachable spirit is someone who says, thank you, Pastor, for correcting me. Thank you for showing me how I was wrong in that situation. When you've got that kind of teachable spirit, somebody is going to grow in the things of the Spirit very rapidly. But when every time, you know, there's some rebuke or some correction brought, you react negatively, you're never going to grow very quickly. You're going to stagnate because you haven't got a teachable spirit. Actually, you're on the verge of having a rebellious spirit, which is very serious, but we won't deal with that just at this moment. So the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, what are we demolishing? What are these strongholds? Well, look, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Where do these thoughts come from? Which are not the truth, which are not obedience to Christ. Well, if there's something negative in your own heart, they can come from your own heart. But you see, because the devil has his plan for your life, he constantly is bombarding you with wrong thoughts. He does this through spirits of deception, through lying spirits, through spirits that want to tempt you away from the purpose of God. You might not be aware of it, but these spirits are constantly at work all the time. Now, we don't need to get freaked out about this. We just need to realize, well, this is the situation. And therefore, I have to be one who takes authority and overcomes all these spirits that come against me. I'm not going to allow them to influence me so that I come under the influence of some stronghold of the enemy. Now, one of the things that just mentioned yesterday morning, and this is very, very important, this has got nothing to do with your anointing. You can have someone who's very anointed, used mightily of God, is being very fruitful, and still they can have a stronghold of wrong thinking in their lives, in some area of their life. And that, to a great extent, can undermine, it can even do great damage in the body, because everybody looks at the anointing and they don't necessarily see the negative thing that is also operating through that person. Hello? I don't think to you as second-year students, I've talked to you yet about the chronic critic. There are in every church, in the whole sort of realm of Christianity, this is a problem. It's a recognized sort of psychological profile, but it has its Christian or spiritual or religious context, as well as being out in the world. A chronic critic is someone who, on the surface, looks such a nice person, so helpful, very social, sociable, very helpful, always ready to serve, often the first one there to offer help, gaining, if you like, applause and recognition from others, but at the same time, they stab people in the back, especially those in leadership. Quietly, they are very, very critical. Quietly, they are very, very destructive. Quietly, they cause actually a lot of division. So, you know, everything is not always as it seems to be. Now, of course, this isn't the case of every person who's a good servant and so on. But there are people like this. And you see, what this helps us to understand is that people can be quite schizophrenic spiritually. In one context, they can appear to be so spiritual, so good, so nice, and yet there's another aspect to their character which is totally the opposite of what they project towards others. You find that people like this, for all their sort of outward display of help and love and so on, they don't have a very satisfactory relationship with God. But that's not something that is readily seen and discerned by everyone. Now, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the discerning of spirits. Now, what is the discerning of spirits? Well, the Holy Spirit enables you to discern whether what is operating in your life or in someone else comes from the Holy Spirit, comes simply from themselves, from their human spirit, from their soulishness, or whether it comes from the enemy. This is, I believe, one of the most neglected gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church today. It's absolutely crucial that we all develop the use of this gift. It's been totally invaluable in my own life and ministry because as you travel around wherever you go, you have to have discernment. You have to listen. It's the Holy Spirit gives you discernment, you understand? It's a gift of the Spirit, so he gives discernment as to what is operating, what spirits are operating, what is happening, not just on the surface, but behind the scenes. And those of us that are learning about pastoring and counseling, see, it's very important that when people come to us and talk to us, engage with us in any way, we're not just listening on the surface, but I've told you many times, you listen with the other ear to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will give you discernment as to what spirits are really operating here. Is what this person's saying really true? Is it really of the Spirit, or is something else operating? And you see, you can't just look at the good, the profitable, fruitful things in a person's life, because as I've said, that can be going on, and yet at the same time, there can be something wrong. And you see, when people are greatly used, people tend to overlook or neglect or perhaps can't even believe that something negative could be operating through that person as well. And this, of course, is one of the ways in which the devil deceives. Are you there? And so we've got to have our spiritual eyes open We've got to be people who discern what is happening. Now, it's not a question of looking at others with criticism or suspicion or anything like that. It's just that when something is not right, the Holy Spirit will bear witness. And you will just feel uncomfortable. That's really how it begins. You just feel uncomfortable, and you can say, I don't know why I feel uncomfortable, but I just know that there is something not right here. Right near the beginning of the move of God in Luton in the early 70s, when we were just learning about these things, because at that time, you know, the books that are available now hadn't been written, and really there was nobody to teach us how to move in these things. We had to learn directly from the Lord. And I can remember there was one of our prayer meetings where we had a lady who was visiting. She hadn't been to any of our prayer meetings before. And during the course of the prayer meeting, this lady brought a word, what we would call a prophetic word. And as I listened to this, I felt uneasy. I felt there's something wrong here. And so I was standing there, because of course I was responsible for leading the meeting. I was standing there trying to work out what was wrong. Because what she said seemed to be okay. It seemed to be fine. It seemed to be scriptural. And I was standing there trying to work out what was wrong with that. When one of my leaders said, in the name of Jesus, I reject that word. It did not come from God. And immediately the woman started to manifest a demonic presence. Well, that was a big eye-opener to me. That taught me a lesson, you know, that obey the witness of the Spirit. And when we talked about it afterwards, I mean, she was set free and actually joined the church later. She was someone who, being on the edge of Christian things, but she really came through to being born again and filled with the Spirit and so on, properly. So that was good. But as I talked with this other leader afterwards, you see, he felt the same as I did. There's something wrong with that. And he just jumped in with both feet. Well, if there's something wrong with it, it needs to be addressed. Now, this is what Wesley and others call the witness of the Holy Spirit. Or it's the operation of this gift of the discerning of spirits. And of course, we can get this sense not only about others, but about ourselves. We know something's wrong, but we can't quite put our finger on it. It's difficult to pray, and we don't know why it's difficult to pray. Or we're in a situation where, you know, everything seems to be falling apart, and we can't see why it's falling apart. Well, it's almost certain that other spirits are coming against you in that situation. And you need to rise up in faith and exercise your authority. Why should it be difficult for you to pray? You have the Holy Spirit in you. Christ is in you. You know the truth. There should be no reason whatsoever for it to be difficult for you to pray, except that the devil does not want you to pray. So, you know, when people are struggling in prayer, struggling to pray, they need to understand, well, my fight is not against myself to try to make me pray. It's not against anybody else, because nobody else is hindering me or preventing me from praying. This is a work of the enemy. Another way in which he tries to stop us praying is whenever we pray, we start to fall asleep. That's the enemy. He'll do anything. This sort of spirit of drowsiness will come over you. And you think, oh, I'm so tired. You know, it's the end of term. It's got nothing to do with that. This is a spirit of drowsiness. This is something from the enemy. Something to stop you praying. Something to make your prayer ineffective. Are you there? So, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Amen? So we've got these spiritual weapons. We've got all the gifts and graces of the Holy Spirit to enable us to overcome. Let's turn to Hebrews. Some well-known words in chapter 10. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Now, one of the other ways in which the enemy comes against us is to try to give you a guilty conscience. Now, because of what Jesus has done for us through his blood, we can approach God with boldness and with confidence and with a clear conscience because we know that we have been forgiven of all our sins. He has been merciful and gracious towards us. The enemy wants to try to undermine that confidence. And what he does, the way he does that is by accusation. He's not only the deceiver of the brethren, he's the accuser of the brethren. So we're not talking about the deception and accusation that goes on in the world out there. This is what comes against Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. So he's the accuser. Now, how does he do that? He does it in two ways. Either he accuses you directly in your own thinking, in your own mind, bringing accusations against you to try to undermine your confidence and make you feel guilty. Or he's very adept at using others to do that for him, to do his work for him. And that shows how Christians can be under the influence of these wrong spirits. That if a Christian comes to you with accusation, that person is not speaking in the name of the Holy Spirit, but in the name of the devil. We can't dress it up. We can't make it sound better than it is. That's actually what is happening. Are you there?
Yes.
Accusation is totally different from the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. When something is wrong, right, the Holy Spirit will convict you, you will repent, God will forgive you, and that thing no longer exists. When accusation comes, it's usually accusation about something that God has already dealt with. That actually the sin no longer exists. This is a work of the enemy. Hello? Very often, accusation is completely unfounded. And often you find that when people accuse you, it's absolute rubbish and nonsense. But it's not necessarily easy unless you take the shield of faith and exercise that spiritual authority that you have. It's not easy to get out from under it if you let yourself get under it in the first place. This, again, is where we need some spiritual discernment and to realize that's accusation. That has not come from God. This is not a work of the Holy Spirit. This is a work of the enemy. And I take the shield of faith against that accusation. I refuse to accept it. I refuse to come under its influence in the name of Jesus. Are we there? Okay, now turn to Romans chapter 10. Verse 8, the word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. Amen. Now, notice that what I've just done was to speak, not to think, I'm not going to accept that. I mean, that's come from the enemy. No, you have to speak. If you are going to be victorious over the things that come against you, you have to speak. Right? Look what he says. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you see, this is not just about initial salvation, but in any situation where you're placed, God wants to see you saved from the work of the enemy. So, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. You're not actually saved from the situation until you speak. And you see, the reason why so many become victims of accusation and deception and all these things that come against them is because they will not speak and exercise authority against those things that are coming against them. That just to reject it in your mind is not enough. You have to then speak against it to overcome what is coming against you. Are you there? Okay. So as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. You see, what does the devil want to do? He wants to put you to shame. There you are. You might have done something wrong, but God has forgiven you. God has restored you. Along comes the enemy, wants to accuse you, wants to make you undermine your confidence, wants to make you feel ashamed. And the enemy is talking about something that doesn't even exist. Might have existed once, but it doesn't exist now. Because he's put your sin behind his back. It's evaporated like the morning mist before the rising sun. He's forgotten all about it. But the devil hasn't. See, this is why you don't go back into the past. Because God has dealt with your past. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Your past does not need to influence your future. Yeah. People in the world... That's true, but it's not. It shouldn't be true for Christians. Why? Because you've died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Amen. You are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. Hallelujah. And even if in the new you get something wrong, you sin, you grieve the Lord in any way, well, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So here comes the devil to try to make you feel guilty, and God's already cleansed you from all unrighteousness. What's going on here? It's a work of the enemy, isn't it? And this kind of thing is going on all the time in churches, among Christians. And you see, what gives the devil his opportunity is pride. See, once someone is operating in pride, they are not operating under the Holy Spirit, because God resists the proud. He pulls down the proud. Now, of course, every one of us is tempted to be proud. But it's yielding to that temptation that is the danger. And when somebody is motivated by pride, they cannot be operating in the Holy Spirit. And you see, what they do is raise themselves up. Why this gives the opportunity to the devil is it was the sin of the devil. When he was the archangel Lucifer, who was leading the heavenly choirs in worship, he became proud. He wanted to be as God, and instead of worshiping God, he wanted to become the object of worship himself. As soon as he was proud, that he manifested that pride, Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Are you there? So you see, pride is the cardinal sin of the devil. So what enables those wrong spirits to influence people is when they get proud. Now, there's different ways in which that pride can be manifested. They can raise their thinking above God's thinking. So, for example, they might judge a fellow believer, in which case they've raised their head in pride above the head of the church, Jesus Christ, because he says, "Do not judge." So pride says, "That doesn't apply to me, might apply to everybody else, might be God's word to everybody else, but it's not God's word to me. I have got every right to judge." That's pride. And Jesus says, if you are guilty of that sin of pride, you will be judged in the same way with which you judge others. So it's much better not to get into that sin at all. If you do, to very rapidly repent. The other way in which people easily get into pride is to raise themselves up, not only above the Lord, but above others. You find that in churches all over, there will be those that will be critical of the leaders. That is, you cannot dress it up. Any criticism of your leader is rebellion in the sight of God. It's pure, simple as that. Why? Because God has raised up the leadership, but that person is raising himself up above the leadership and is judging the leadership. Now, that is tantamount to saying that they are judging God for putting that leader in place. And very often people want to judge the leader when the leader has brought correction to them. And they resent it because they don't have a teachable spirit, because they don't have a humble spirit, because they have a proud spirit. They rise up against the leadership. This is a very common problem. And very often, that's why people leave churches, with offense. They are offended that the leader should dare have brought correction to them, showing really that they have a proud spirit, not a humble spirit. Are we there? Are we understanding this? Yeah. Now, you see, that's not just the product of a proud heart. I mean, that's one cause. But it's not necessarily always the cause, because pride is the currency of the devil. He all the time wants to stir up pride in others. You see, the devil can't take your salvation away, but he'll do everything he can to try to prevent you from working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Even if he can't take your salvation away, he wants to try to undermine the way in which God works in your life so you don't get a reward. Now, you see, it's easy, isn't it, for us to say, "Oh, no, I don't have a rebellious spirit. No, I don't have a wrong attitude." The heart is deceitful above all things and infinitely wicked. We can so easily deceive ourselves. You know, we can say, oh, I'm not under the influence of any other spirit. Well, is what you're saying and doing under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Because if it's not the Holy Spirit, what spirit is it? What spirit are you allowing to operate through your life? See, because what you do, what you say, actually communicates something spiritual. Because you are a spiritual person now. Are you there? Now, the great thing about our God is He's the great restorer. He's the great redeemer. Amen? And even when you do mess up, He is the one who forgives, redeems, and restores. And He says, okay, now you put that behind you, just as I put your sin behind my back, so you put it behind you and you move forward. Your concern is for what lies ahead, not what lies behind. Like Paul says, forgetting what lies behind, I'm reaching out for what lies ahead. I want to take hold of everything for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Now, the devil doesn't want you to take hold of everything. He wants to try to undermine your confidence. He tries to want to make you feel guilty and shamed and all the rest of it, so that you don't have any confidence to lay hold of the inheritance that you have in Christ. You're a co-heir with Christ. Everything that is of Him is yours. The Scripture is clear about that. So God wants you operating by faith, where you're constantly laying hold of these things. Now, all you students and most of the team over the holiday period, you will be going into situations where probably the spirit of this world is operating, especially through unsaved relatives and friends, and no doubt other spirits will also be operating. Now, it isn't that you're sitting there on Christmas Day at the dinner table trying to analyze what spirits are working through everybody around the table. That would be a good way to get indigestion. Just enjoy the turkey and... You might even have a glass of wine with it, as you're not at Roffey at the time, but never let it be said. Now, It's not that you're there to judge and to criticize, but to understand. To understand what is happening. Especially when, you know, relatives come against you and why you're here and what you're doing here and what you're going to do with the rest of your life. Anything to try to make you unsettled. Well, where are you going with all this? What's going to happen to you when you leave college? And boom, 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 all that kind of stuff. And you don't know the answer to that, probably. And actually, it doesn't matter that you don't know the answer, because you're not leaving yet. So, but you see, the devil will do anything just to undermine. And if people are not under the influence of the Holy Spirit, then they don't understand how the enemy can be operating through their lives. I mean, a classic example of this is Saul of Tarsus. I mean, he was an exceedingly religious person. He was absolutely, totally convinced that he was serving his God by persecuting the church. He thought this was his call from God to do this. He must have listened to the testimony of many, many believers that he'd been persecuting and imprisoning and consenting to their death. And yet, he still was not in the Lord's camp. He was being utterly deceived. Now, he came to understand that. He came to understand that all his religious fervor of the past was worth absolutely nothing. that all those years where he was so concerned as a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he described himself, that all that self-righteousness meant absolutely nothing and produced not good fruit, but actually led him to persecute the church, to actually go against the will and the purpose of God. But at that point, he wasn't saved. And so when we mix with people in the world, whether they're relatives or whether they're, you know, just people that we encounter, they are under the influence of the spirit of this world. They may be under the influence of all kinds of other spirits without knowing it, without realizing it, because our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of wickedness that are operating in the world and also in heavenly places. Notice what Paul says. It's not just that we're operating against spiritual forces in the heavenly places, but those wrong powers and authorities that the enemy has set up in the world. So people in the world are going to be the victims, are going to be the channels, if you like, of all these wrong things. And they can come against you again to try to unsettle you, to try to rob you of confidence, to try to take away your peace. There can be accusation. There can be lies. There can be deception. There can be all kinds of things. And you've probably learned, I hope you've learned by now, that when people come against you with those wrong things, the last thing in the world you want to do is to get into a discussion with them. And even to defend yourself. No, 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 no. Why? Because they've got no interest in the truth. Right? You are only going to get anywhere in a situation like that in prayer. Yeah. And you see, we have to learn to be like Jesus. You have, for example, the woman that he met at the well. As you know, she tried to engage him in a discussion, an argument about where the right place to worship was. Jesus didn't allow her to do that. He didn't let her off the hook. He came straight for the heart. You see? And if we're ever, you will never, ever win anyone to the Lord by argument. Because it just, to them, it's one opinion against another. And one of the manifestations of pride is that people believe their own opinions. They actually think their opinions count for something. Whereas, of course, once you're a spiritual person, you understand that your opinions mean absolutely nothing to God or to anyone else. You're the only one who thinks your opinions are worth anything, and actually they're worth nothing. Hello? Just thought I'd slip that in just to help you along the way to be humble. So your opinion is not pitching your opinion against their opinion, because that's how people receive it. But it's seeking to see, well, what is the need in this person's life? What's going on in the heart? See, Jesus got straight to the heart need of the woman, as he did always with people. Bypasses the arguments. The only ones who wanted to argue with him were the Pharisees, the religious, self-righteous people. Amen? And when you come up against self-righteousness, I mean, even Jesus couldn't win any of the Pharisees by argument. Hello? I mean, how often did those Pharisees listen to him? Still they didn't turn to him. Still they didn't repent. Instead, they just continued to persecute him and finally crucified him. So that's the kind of spirit that's operating in the world and is operating against us because we belong to the truth. Now, the important thing, you see, is that what you're doing with people is you're loving them. Not getting into a heated debate or argument, which actually will be futile, will not produce any good fruit. But your response is going to be one of love, of compassion, of care, of concern. And in situations like that, you see, we need discernment of the Spirit. We need the witness of the Spirit. We need the Spirit to lead us, to guide us as to what to say and how to respond, how to operate at that moment in that situation. So you see, what is actually happening in situations like that is you're not having a debate with a person, you're having a debate with wrong spirits that are operating and being expressed through that person. And you will never get victory over wrong spirits by debating with them. But we have the spiritual weapons that are powerful and mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. Right, one more thing. In all this, I mentioned yesterday the difference between charisma and character. Charisma is your anointing. Now you have the anointing of the Holy One. Nobody can steal that anointing from you because it's given you by God. Of course, whether you operate in that anointing or not is another matter. Because you can have an anointing, but not necessarily operate in it. The only way that you operate in the anointing is by depending upon the Holy Spirit. Amen? But your character does not yet perfectly reflect the character of Jesus, nor does mine. So you can probably see things in me sometimes, and you say, well, that's not like Jesus, or that doesn't sound like Jesus, and you might be right. But I'm a work in progress, just as you are a work in progress. And he is transforming each of us into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. Right? I might be a little bit further along than you are because I've been at this business rather longer than most of you. So God's had more time to work on me. But the point is this. Wherever there is a character flaw, gives the devil his opportunity. Now, if we just go back to the first scripture, standing firm. You stand firm against the devil and all his works. What the devil wants is somewhere to stand in your life. Because if you give him somewhere to stand in that area of your life, you're not standing against him. So the devil is always looking for the character flaws, the opportunities, the way in which he can capitalize on some area of personal weakness in your life. Those are dangerous areas, aren't they? Because the scripture says, give no opportunity to the devil. Now, you can see that the principal opportunity he has is pride. Linked with that is selfishness, where we're living for ourselves and not for others. Out of those things come all kinds of other negative things. like the criticism and the judgment and like offense and all those jealousy, anger, resentment, bitterness, all negative stuff. But they all come out of the root of some weakness in our character if what we find is that it's these same things that keep cropping up in our lives. Now, Paul addresses this in Romans 7. You know, when he says, the good that I would do, I don't do, and that which I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Where there's one of those character flaws, that's how you feel about yourself. Say, well, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to be different. But it doesn't matter how much you say that, you end up by doing the same things again. Why? Because what you're talking about is a symptom. And God knows that the symptom is only a symptom of something that is rooted in your life still. Something that is to be uprooted. Now, what the scripture says is that what Paul prayed for the Ephesians, and remember, the Ephesians were probably the most spiritual church around at the time. But what he prayed for them is that they would be deeply rooted in the love of Christ. Now, what we want is every area of our lives to be deeply rooted in that love. Because then, whatever is happening, whatever area of our lives, if you like, is having to function or be expressed, it's going to come out of that root of love. Now listen carefully, because Jesus talks about this. What does he say? Well, he talks in the parable of the sower about the seed that falls amongst the thorns and thistles. Seed is good. The seed is rooted. The seed is growing up towards fruitfulness. But there are other seeds too. And because those other seeds were not uprooted, they grow up and choke the good seed. Hello? So what do you do? You don't simply say, Lord, forgive me, because saying, Lord, forgive me is like topping off a weed. You know, if you take the top off a weed and lead the root in, what's going to happen? The weed is going to grow again, as all you gardeners know. And who knows that weeds grow more readily than the real plants? Amen. So these weeds need to be uprooted. And the only one who can do that is the Lord. And he will do that when, first of all, we recognize what needs to be uprooted. And secondly, we want him to do it. So we yield ourselves to him. We give ourselves to him in order that he can then accomplish that in us. Now you see, if we go back to what we were saying about these wrong spirits, often those things that have been deeply rooted, right, are actually wrong spirits, wrong attitudes, wrong this, that, and the other. Because there was that character flaw, for whatever reason, that gave the devil the opportunity to do that. And sometimes those things take such a hold on Christians that they don't know how to get free themselves, and that's when sometimes you need to minister to them. It's not a question of casting demons out of them or anything like that. It's a question of seeing them released from the things that have got a hold and a grip on certain areas of their lives. Are we getting this?
Yes.
So we don't want any of that stuff, eh? But because we're a work in progress, we are really self-deceived if we think that things like that can't operate in our lives. My experience over a long time is that you need to keep uprooting stuff that the enemy is trying to plant. And it's not just that he's coming against you in some kind of attack. He's trying to plant something in your life that is not right. Because then that is going to spread seeds. The good stuff is growing. You might be used by God in all kinds of other ways. But this other thing that the enemy has planted in you is going to spread bad seed. It's going to spread weeds. Unless it's uprooted before that can happen. So, this is where we come back to this discerning of spirits. It's not just a question of saying, oh God, you know, there's something about me. Oh Lord, I'm struggling in this area. I never seem to get the victory. It seems to be the same thing again and again and again. And what you don't realize is, well, this is a work of the enemy. This is something that needs to be uprooted. This is something you've got to speak against. Because until you speak against it, it's not going to be defeated in your life. And if having spoken against it, you still don't have the victory, that's when you need to go to somebody else with spiritual authority and say, will you pray with me? Will you help me? Will you agree with me? Because I don't want this wrong thing operating through my life anymore. And just remember, these negative things that the enemy sows, his purpose is to choke you, is to choke the good seed, is to prevent you from fulfilling what God wants in your life. So we've covered a lot of ground in one session. We're going to pray. We're going to get some victory. Because as I've been speaking, I'm sure the Holy Spirit has been witnessing to some of you. Ah, now I understand what has been coming against me. Now I understand why I've been struggling in this particular area of my life. Now we have to start by asking for God's forgiveness. Because you see, the enemy has got no ground to stand on unless we've given it to him. Hello? And you can try to excuse yourself for why that is, but it's still your responsibility. And so we still have to say, Lord, forgive me for giving any opportunity to the devil. Forgive me for allowing the enemy to sow something in my life, in my spirit. Because that's what happens, you see. And this is why 2 Corinthians 7:1, Paul says, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit. You see, you're not so spiritual that you can't have a contaminated spirit. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. He wants to sow these things so that there's mixture in your life. Not just the Holy Spirit, but even some other spirit, some work of the enemy is operating through you, whether it's criticism, whether it's offense, whether it's judgment, whether it's jealousy, whether it's anger, whether it's whatever it may be, unforgiveness, whatever. It's negative, whatever it is. And it's destructive, therefore, towards others, and it's actually self-destructive, which is exactly what the enemy wants, because he is the thief who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But he's not going to do that to anyone in this room. Amen? Come on, let's stand then. Hallelujah. Okay, just praise the Lord first for his victory. Praise the Lord for the precious blood. That blood has the power to cleanse us. That power has the blood to liberate us, to free us. That blood gives us the victory over all the powers of the enemy. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Now thank him for the gift of the Holy Spirit and for every way in which the Spirit of God has been operating through you. Hallelujah. Thank him that he is causing you to be fruitful. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Give him the glory for whatever he has done, because if it's a work of the Spirit, it's not you, it's him, isn't it? It's Christ in you. So all the glory belongs to him. So we praise and thank you and bless you, Lord, for every way in which you have operated through our lives, all the fruit that you have produced, and we give you all the honor and the praise for that. We bless your wonderful and your holy name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Pora la bazata paria leto pakala zita di santuma. O rata paria leto pakala zita di santo pakatoria leto pakala sinuma. Popara zata paria leto pakala zita di santuma. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, now let's just be still and just listen to the witness of the Holy Spirit. Now, God, as I've been speaking, God may already have shown you something that the enemy has been able to root in you. It's actually trying to choke you spiritually. So you're going to uproot that this morning. See, when you uproot a weed, it doesn't take long, but you've just got to get right to the root of it, not top it off. Maybe that the Lord has shown you that there's that character weakness that has given the enemy opportunity. And that this morning you need to surrender that area of your life afresh to God. And say, Lord, I want transformation there. So the enemy no longer has opportunity. He's no longer got any ground upon which to stand, to accuse me, to work through me in any way whatsoever. I yield myself wholeheartedly, 100% to you, to your Holy Spirit. Maybe that God has spoken to you about a stronghold, wrong thinking, wrong attitude, even a rebellious attitude. Or it might be a proud attitude, or a fearful attitude. But whatever it is, that attitude has become a stronghold that is hindering you. Fear can be a stronghold. See, a stronghold of wrong thinking, so that instead of thinking confidence, you think fear. And when you think fear, that ends up in you being inactive and not doing what God wants you to do because you're afraid. So we have the spiritual weapons that are mighty to the pulling down of all those strongholds. Maybe God has shown you that you are someone who is easily led by other people. You easily come under the influence of whoever you're with because you don't discern what spirit is operating through them. And you need to pray this morning, Lord, I thank you that you've given me the gift of discernment, the discerning of spirits. And I give myself to you this morning that I will be so much more aware of what is happening spiritually around me. Not just here when I'm at college, but when I'm home, when I'm with others, when wherever I am. You may need to pray, Lord, I need your grace to take that shield of faith when what is coming at me is some wrong spirit. Not to argue, not just to take offense or anything like that, but to recognize that I need victory over the wrong spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me the spirit of wisdom. And as that wisdom operates in my life, so you will show me what is going on. Now you see, that's a whole variety of different things. One or more of those things are specific and personal to you. So what matters now is that you respond to the Lord in the way that is specifically appropriate for you. Don't take on board things that are not appropriate for you, but you know by now, after this last hour or so, you know what issues or what particular issue needs to be dealt with. Now, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. So what you need to do, what we're all going to do in a moment, is speak. As everybody will be speaking at once, nobody else will be listening to you. But you need to speak, not stand there and think. You need to speak. And to speak against whatever it is, to speak against the mountain, perhaps even the bondage, to speak against the wrong thing that has been rooted there, to speak against. This character weakness or whatever. So are you ready to go? Okay, so off you go. Just take authority now in the name of Jesus. Speak against these things. Speak with authority. Speak with faith. Pull up that weed. Uproot it. And then thank the Lord that these things are now behind you. Pull down those strongholds of wrong thinking. Pull down those strongholds of fear and intimidation. Uproot that rebellious attitude. Uproot all those proud attitudes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Then thank the Lord for the victory. Speak, remember, speak, speak, speak. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Korala basata paria leta bakala sitiri sanduma. Now, the last way in which we're going to pray this morning, the scripture says, throw off everything that hinders. Right. Now, these things have been hindering you. Yes. Some of you perhaps understand now why you've been struggling in certain areas without understanding why you've been struggling. Mm-hmm. The enemy has been hindering you. But he's got no right to do that if you give him no ground to stand on. Yes. So, the scripture says, throw off everything that hinders. Come on, let's do that this morning. Just throw it off now. Lord, I throw off everything that hinders me. I throw off all those restrictions that the enemy has tried to put me under. I throw them off. They have no part. They have no place in my life. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Karala basata paria leto bakala sitiri sanduma. Baparia leto bakala zata paranduma. Come on, praise him for the victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, just before we finish, just lift your hands and just receive a fresh anointing of the Spirit of Wisdom. So as you go wherever in these coming weeks over the Christmas break, New Year break, God's wisdom is going to be operating in you. You're going to have discernment of the spirits, of what's operating, of what you're coming against, what is coming against you, whatever is influencing others, so that you know how to pray and you know how to respond and how to react. So just thank him for that spirit of wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for that wisdom that comes from above. We bless your holy name. We praise your holy name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Now listen, But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Let's just do that again. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And it says, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Yes. So, let's say it once more, but make it personal. The wisdom that will operate in me is pure, so that I will be peace-loving, I will be considerate, I will be submissive to the Lord and to others, I will be full of mercy, I will bear good fruit, I will be impartial, I will be sincere. I will be a peacemaker who sows peace, and the peacemakers inherit the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's really thank the Lord now. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. So it's good news that you are so important to God that the devil thinks it's worth opposing you. You're potentially so dangerous to the kingdom of darkness that the devil thinks it's worth trying to undermine your faith. But he's a defeated enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.